AM 1260 and HornFM.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
You think we've gotten too radical with our message? Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory!
It is B&E on a tremendous Monday in Austin, Texas. Certainly tremendous for the Texas Longhorn baseball team. They are now 2 wins away from Omaha as they have mowed through the Austin Regional 3-0. Outscored their opponents 33-5. Wins over Southern, Arizona State, and Fairfield last night. And they are cruising. Now they'll sit back and watch today what happens in Gainesville, Florida, Buck, where the Gainesville Regional will be decided between South Alabama and South Florida. Couple of directional schools will square off. The winner of that game today will be coming here this weekend for a best-of-three super regional with the winner of that series off to Omaha, Nebraska, and the College World Series. So the Longhorns in good position and certainly in fine form coming off their weekend. They hit, they pitched, they played great defense. They just humbled their opponents this weekend, and so feeling good. They do feel like a team. As you're watching a team like Arkansas struggle, they got to go to a game with Nebraska today. TCU got eliminated. They didn't get to their championship of their Fort Worth Regional. There are some top schools that are you know playing what would look to be inferior competition, and they're losing. Texas, yes, they had a good draw, but they dominated. They just showed up and you know beat the lights out of the teams that they're supposed to beat. But not everybody's doing that across the country,
no.
Which is give credit to David Pearson and his team. They continue to play to their bar.
Yeah, I give him a bunch of credit. He's just letting them hang. Boy, and they're getting it done too.
Well, and I'm looking at the bracket, NCAA tournament bracket. You know the way this plays out. You play a 4-team regional like the Longhorns just played. And then you play a super regional. And if you make it to the College World Series, essentially you do the same thing again. You play a 4-team regional in Omaha, and there are 4 teams in your bracket, and then the winners of both of the 4-team regionals play in the College World Series, best of three, you know, final. And the Longhorns, I'm looking at the teams that they would match up with if they were able to get to Omaha, and I see Notre Dame. Notre Dame got out of their region. Texas Tech got out of the Lubbock region. NC State is the team that came out of the Ruston, Louisiana. Actually, check that. NC State is in. Today, Arkansas plays Nebraska. Winner will advance, loser goes home. And Arkansas is the number one team in the country. So, interesting. Because you start looking, you know, want to get ahead of yourself, but you can see the teams that you may line up with in Omaha, which could include Texas Tech, but
now, did
the Red Raiders.
Did Russell Wilson play baseball at NC State when he was there?
Yes.
He did play baseball. He was a baseball player. NC State's been pretty decent in baseball.
They're right.
Good ball generally, club. When I see in the ACC, generally it's either Maryland or North Carolina. I never saw that much of NC State.
Yeah.
Showing up.
Indeed, NC State did come out of the Ruston, Louisiana regional, which was hosted by Louisiana Tech. They won that one. Alabama was there. A lot of people weren't sure if Alabama should be, and they did not play well. So NC State is on to the round of 16, and they will meet the winner of today's Nebraska-Arkansas game in a best-of-three super regional next weekend, likely to be played in Fayetteville if Arkansas can win today. But Nebraska beat them last night, so we'll see. That one's interesting. Texas Tech is now waiting on their weekend opponent, and theirs is going to be against the winner of the Stanford-UC Irvine game today. In a elimination contest. So good stuff in college baseball. Let's get to the rest of your headlines. Also a big weekend for Texas football. We're going to talk to Jeff Howe from Horns 24/7 here coming up on the newest Longhorn, a transfer from Alabama coming in. Get you details on that and his thoughts on this baseball team. But let's first get to the trending topic headlines on a Monday morning. Top Gun, Law and Equipment Rentals bring you the news and start with Texas football. As we mentioned, Longhorns had another transfer from Tuscaloosa last night with the commitment from former Alabama running back Keelan Robinson. After a weekend visit, the 5'9", 190-pound sophomore announced his intentions, played 8 games in 2019 for the Crimson Tide as a freshman, then opted out of the 2020 season for COVID concerns. He was a 4-star recruit in the class of 2019, originally from Washington, D.C. Big trade finalized yesterday in the NFL. Word now that the Atlanta Falcons have agreed to trade wide receiver Julio Jones to the Tennessee Titans for a second-round pick in 2022, fourth-rounder in 2023. 32-year-old future Hall of Famer spent 10 seasons, all 10 seasons with Atlanta, was named to the Pro Bowl 7 times. NFL playoffs make it 10 years and counting now since the Dallas Mavericks have won a playoff series. L.A. Clippers used a 24-4 run at the end of the third quarter last night, or yesterday afternoon, to pull away and take Game 7 of that series, 126-111. That came despite 46 points and 14 assists from Luka Doncic. Incredible in that series, but not enough. Clippers now face Utah in Round 2. Also yesterday, Atlanta Hawks stole Game 1 of their second-round series with the top-seeded Philadelphia 76ers, 128-124. Trae Young, 35 points and 10 assists. Major League Baseball, Houston Astros took the rubber game of their 3-game series with Toronto, played in Buffalo, 6-3 the final. Rookie right-hander Luis Garcia won again, his 5th straight win. Rangers dropped the rubber game of their series with Tampa, 7-1. In golf, Patrick Cantlay picked up his 4th PGA Tour victory as he outlasted Colin Morikawa in a playoff to win the Memorial Tournament in Dublin, Ohio. And a thrilling finish last night in soccer that saw the United States men's national team beat Mexico in the CONCACAF Nations League final 3-2. In extra time.
Horn Headlines brought to you by Top Gun Rentals and Lawn Equipment.
Come to Top Gun and buy or rent the equipment you need for your construction and lawn projects, and you could win a bottle of 1942 Don Julio tequila or Blanton's whiskey.
TopGun.net. We'll shoot you straight.
Oh, man, it is a busy Monday. A lot out there. We'll get back into the other top stories of the weekend, including the Clippers and Mavericks and the NBA playoffs. Also, that rowdy situation in Denver last night for the U.S. men's national soccer team. They had to pause the game because of the unruly crowd there. But right now, let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline and talk some Longhorn sports, as we love to do, with our buddy Jeff Howe from Light the Tower. His show, along with Craig Way, follows ours at 10 o'clock. Also doing great work at Horns 24/7 and on the Longhorn Blitz podcast that you hear here on the Horn each week. Jeff, how are you, my friend?
Guys, I'm good on a Monday. How are y'all?
Doing well, man. Let's start with Texas baseball and just your thoughts. I mean, you've covered this team all year long, with your, in person and again this weekend. I mean, this was dominating. I mean, they just crushed the opponents this weekend. The pitching was stellar from Tristan Stevens on Friday to Pete Hansen yesterday. They manufactured runs. They hit for power. I mean, they did a lot that you got to like with this this past weekend.
Yeah, and I thought last night, There were a couple times where it felt like that game had a chance to get sloppy for Texas. But and I'll say this, too. Last night is not an accurate representation of I think, the kind of team Fairfield was throughout the year. I know they were one of the stories coming into the tournament, but you kind of knew it was going to be a long weekend for them when, even before they leave for Austin, Mike Caruso, their All-American catcher, takes a pitch to the face and breaks his jaw and doesn't even travel with them. So they were down a man, and it just shows you, for a team like that, the lack of pitching depth when you're playing your, fourth game in 3 days, you just run out of arms. And they ran out of arms last night, but credit Texas for being patient. David Pierce even said last night at postgame, and I agree with him 100%, they could have gotten out and gotten aggressive and put the ball in play and allowed, that inexperienced staff to gain some confidence. But, they hung back, they took pitches. You combine, the walks, the base on balls and the hit by pitches, you got 17 free passes last night. So even in the game where you get 12 hits, only one of them is for extra bases, but you're going to win a lot of baseball games when you get 17 free passes in a game. And then Pete Hansen, I don't know what else you can say other than just to look at the numbers. The slider was outstanding for him last night, a lot of swings and misses, 13 strikeouts, no walks. And even for him, his concentration in those long innings where he's just sitting on the bench and then has to get himself ramped back up, to have that kind of focus to, again, go through an outing with 6 2/3 where he strikes out 13 and doesn't walk anybody, overall, it's you're at the point where you're not concerned about style points. And you hit it, you mentioned it a minute ago. Arkansas is playing a winner-take-all situation today. TCU's already done for the year. Florida was 2-barbecued in their regional. So we see it every year, and especially, in this year where schedules were wonky and a team like Nebraska played a conference-only schedule. We knew there were going to be upsets. I think for Texas fans, they should just feel real fortunate that none of that happened in this Austin regional, and it was 3 really convincing wins for this ball club.
Jeff, the football weekend for Texas and the recruiting and all over college football, a lot of guys coming on campus, teams. Ohio State had 51 people come in over the weekend. I don't know how you do that, or 51 in the month of June scheduled to be in Columbus. And for the Longhorns, the visits, the outstanding visits that you thought Texas had with certain players?
Yeah, I think there's 2 that really bucket that stand out, and there were kind of the 2 that I was monitoring going into the weekend. I think 1, Derek Brown is an edge rusher out of Texarkana, Texas High. His visit went so well that he's actually canceled his upcoming visit to Texas A&M. He was going to visit the Aggies, and now he's not. I think he's going to visit Texas Tech instead. So you know, that's recruitment. When you look at this defense under Pete Kwiatkowski, and Sark's mentioned it a couple different times this offseason, you know, that's a position, that hybrid position, outside linebackers, defensive ends, those edge guys, that's a position that they've got to win battles on the recruiting trail. You know, they've loaded it up with grad transfer guys, and they've got, you know, guys like Prince Dorba in the program. We'll see if Jatavion Sanders gets a look there. But you know, they know they need to win recruitments, especially in-state recruitments, at those two edge positions. And Derek Brown would be a really big piece of that. So that's one. And you know, to me, Bucky, one of the more intriguing guys in state is a guy they hosted this weekend, Jeremy Patton, a kid out of Tenaha, who's kind of a do-it-all kid to me. Kind of profiled like a linebacker, and to me, when I look at Jeremy Patton, he's kind of he's in the mold of some of those guys that Gary Patterson's taken over the years. He's kind of high school athletes, do a little bit of everything, and you turn them into linebackers, and 3-4 years down the road, they're all conference type guys. So I think Jeremy Patton's got a dynamic skill set that profiles really well to a linebacker position that it seems like every year is getting harder and harder to recruit to as offenses get more spread out and get faster. So those are two recruitments that, in my opinion, I think Texas really needs to win, and they went a long way toward doing that this weekend.
What about the transfer of the running back, Jeff? I mean, you know, Alabama ties, obviously Sark familiar with him from his time there, but, you know, a big-time running back coming out of high school, Washington, D.C., Keelan Robinson announces last night after his visit that he's coming to Texas.
Hey, Bucky, let me ask you this. You remember that running back room you had at Texas where you had to eventually tell Wayne McGarrity, look, if you want to get on the field, you got to go play wide receiver? That's kind of the position Keelan Robinson was in at Alabama. They were going to have to find – they're just that loaded right now. They were – again, a lot of it was going to depend on how healthy Trey Sanders was going to be come the fall. But assuming Trey Sanders was healthy, they were going to have to get real creative on how they used him. So it's not that he was a bad player or an unproductive player. It's just they're so loaded at that position, it's hard for guys to find reps. But you look at his skill set, and I talked to some Bama folks last night and kind of went through quotes, some things Nick Saban has said about Keelan Robinson. I mean, he's a guy that can do multiple things for you on offense. Was clocked a sub 4.4 in high school for whatever that's worth, had a chance to be a kick return guy this year for Alabama. And if you're fast enough to return kicks for Alabama, you're fast enough. So that said, I think this sends two messages. One, I think this is Sark and Stan Drayton and that offensive staff further bolstering the position that is their unquestioned strength on offense, and that's that running back room. Just put as many weapons in that backfield as possible. And Sark really seems like he loves running backs. We know the numbers are there, the history's there, and they're loading up at that position. The second thing I think it does, guys, is, you know, I asked him at the end of spring ball, you know, if you go back to the Tom Herman era, especially last year and in year one with Tom Herman, how rigid those receiver roles were. Like, you know, you go back to year one, you know, they talked about trouble getting a little Jordan Humphrey on the field because he was a backup X receiver. And you know, it just didn't fit into the flow of the offense. Well, the following year they figured it out, but we saw that too often under Tom Herman. And Sark just, quite frankly, and I didn't, when I asked Sark the question, I didn't mention Tom Herman or that offense, but he said that, quite frankly, they don't operate that way. They're going to get their best guys on the field, whether you've got multiple slot receivers, whether you got multiple big X receivers on the field. They want to get their playmakers on the field. So what this tells me is, if you're in that Texas receiver room, you should take the addition of Keelan Robinson as a message of, I've got to have a really good summer and step my game up, or there might not be room for me in this offense. Because you look at the talent they got at running back, I think they feel really good about what they've got at tight end, not just guys now with Jared Wiley and Kate Brewer, but I think they really like what they saw out of Gunnar Helm and Juan Davis in the spring. And we talk about that wide receiver room. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Your guys at the top are talented, but you start going through Jake Smith and Jordan Whittington and Joshua Moore and Troy O'Meary. Those guys have injury histories and in some cases significant injury history. So I think this is Sark just adding another weapon on offense that they can do a lot with. You're not just adding, you are adding to a position that's already deep and talented at running back. But this is a guy that I think they're going to use him in multiple ways and just find ways to get him on the field and get the ball in his hands.
Well, they may be deep, but I don't know how talented they are at running back. That's the key is the fact that you need a guy who, when you put this kid, number five, on the field, if anything were to happen to him, you have to have somebody else that's very close to him, and they don't have anybody who's very close to him, and they know what running backs look like at Alabama. So you just got to take the word of what Sark says when he gets a kid like this to come. He feels pretty confident that he may not be he's not going to be your starter, but he'll pick up the slap if anything were ever to happen to your number one, because Roschon is Roschon. He's not a number one for an entire football game. He's a one cut guy who hits hard and gets up in there and can block and do some other things. But you have to have that next guy who's ready to go. I mean, if you want to make a run for it, you got to have somebody a little bit ready to go if something were to happen, Bijan, or he gets banged up a little bit. Your next guy has to be a dude. He can't be just another running back.
Yeah, and I think to that point, Bucky, I think the skill sets with these two guys match up a little bit better than in terms of swapping one out for the other.
Right.
You know, a one for one, as opposed, you know, Roschon's got a little bit of a different skill set. Now, Roschon's a guy that he does have a 20 catch season on his resume, so he can do some different things. But, and we've seen enough with the eye test now to know he and Bijan are just two different running backs. I think Bijan Robinson and Keelan Robinson, the skill sets match up much better. You know, I've said this, Bucky, from day one. You know, if Texas wanted to move Bijan Robinson to wide receiver, I'm almost convinced he'd be your best wide receiver. And I don't know. You can't say that about Keelan Robinson right now, but his skill set is much more of what Bijan Robinson brings to the table than what you're going to get from Roschon Johnson. As we know, with Roe, is more of a between the tackles guy that's going to maybe give you a little bit more thump.
Yeah. Thump back for sure. And then Keelan Robinson, Washington, D.C., four-star recruit in the class of 2019, transferring in from Alabama to Texas. Jeff, speaking of the transfers, you know, and they've tried to load up on the transfers at linebacker. There was the story a couple of weeks ago about the USC linebacker transfer, and I don't know if that ever became official. Where do they stand on the linebacker transfers?
Yeah, Pulid Nateote, he was in the mix for Texas, and then it looked like, you know, he was headed to Ohio State, and things have been at a standstill there. But honestly, I don't think he has a position at this point. I think the Texas staff, as things stand right now, and things could change, I'm under the impression that they've kind of moved on. And I think, you know, bringing Deli Adeyeway back kind of adds your other inside linebacker number. I mean, I think you're at the point now where, you know, if a guy's not going to be here for the summer, you know, can you really count on him in the fall when he needs to be here? He should be here working out and doing the things that Deli Adeyeway's doing. Even though Deli missed spring, he's at least going to be here during the summer and gives you another body. So, I think they would have loved to have brought him in and have him compete for that middle linebacker job. But, you know, bringing in Devin Richardson, the New Mexico State transfer, that's where they're going to start him out. You get Deli Adeyeway back. And then, I mean, some of those guys that we saw in the spring. I mean, David Benda had one of the best springs of anybody on defense from what we heard. I mean, Luke Brockermeyer got some run with the ones in the spring. Even a young guy like Terrence Cooks coming as a true freshman got some work with the ones in the spring. So, you know, they've got DeMarvian Overshown back when they started workouts last Wednesday. He's coming off of that shoulder surgery, but he should be ready to go by the time you get to camp. And, you know, I think right now I just don't – you know, they've – not to say that that's not a needy, but I just think you're at the point now where you've got too many bodies in there, and is one more body at inside linebacker – is that really what you need right now? I think right now, when you look at transfers they could add, you know, they're in the mix for Caleb Evans, the Tulsa corner transfer. If they were to get him, I could see them just kind of closing up shop and saying, okay, this is the roster we're going to go to camp with, and now go build this and see if you can build a football team that can go win some games this fall.
Sounds like you just need a bunch of numbers right now at linebacker. And if the four transfers from all over the place, Notre Dame, LSU, Alabama, if you can make one really good solid one out of there and then get a really nice backup, that's just insurance, I would think. I know you'd like to have them all be great players, but they're not all going to be great players. But if you can get a really solid player that's a starter for you and then a backup out of there, that's a good deal. That really is.
Yeah, Bucky, you know, Devin Richardson's a guy that could play both. You know, we saw Ray Thornton in the spring. And I continue to hear really good things from the inside about Ray Thornton, just his leadership and how good he's been on that front. But, I think you hit the nail on the head, bringing in Ben Davis, bringing in Ovia Gofu. When you're making this team change, you know, all the pieces aren't going to fit, so you've got to hit the portal, and they knew that's where they were going to have to hit the portal. And look, you know, you're not going to replace Joseph Osai. You're just not. You don't just replace a guy that was that productive, that had that kind of an impact on the game. And you go back and watch the Oklahoma State game last year as example A of how he can take over a game and dominate a game. Texas doesn't have a guy like that on the edge. But I'm with you, Bucky. I think just throwing as many bodies at the problem as you can, which the problem is depth, throw as many bodies there as you can, see if you can find a solid guy. But to me, the key for Pete Kwiatkowski, since he's coaching those hybrid guys, now you're getting into the realm of, can you develop, can you use this year where you've got some of these transfers as kind of a buffer, can you start to develop Prince Dorba into a player of consequence? You know, if Jatavion Sanders ends up on defense, can you start to develop him into a guy that once you get to that 22 season can be somebody that can really help you win football games and be an impact-type player on defense? So we can talk about the transfers and how it helps you for 21, but don't lose sight of the fact that, you know, we talk about player development all the time. Guys like Prince Dorba and Jatavion Sanders and other young guys that they're going to bring into this program, developing those guys into players sooner rather than later, that's going to be one of those pieces that tells you how quick this program under Steve Sarkisian can go compete for a Big 12 title.
Jeff Howe is with us, Horns 24/7, of course. Also, Light the Tower coming up at 10 o'clock. Last thing, Jeff, Chris Beard in basketball, you know, it's not just football recruiting, still trying to build that basketball roster. What is the latest we're hearing on that front as Chris Beard puts his first roster together?
Yeah, well, there's two things on the basketball front this weekend. So Avery Benson, the Texas Tech transfer, they've added him to the mix. And, you know, I think I don't think they're done adding bodies. I mean, I think they're going to take their time. And I think the one position where they're really going to look to add somebody is if they can find somebody down low, maybe some rim protection and rebounding. You know, Jericho Sims still has a final decision to make. So, you know, if Jericho comes back, then I think that solidifies that need. But I think they're going to, you know, leave no stone unturned to try to find help down low. That's really the only other place that they really need it when you look at how this roster is built. And then going forward, looking at recruiting in the 22 class, I mean, they had Keontae George, a five-star guard out of the Metroplex, had him on campus this weekend at 24/7 Sports, and then the 24/7 Sports composite. He's the number one ranked player in the state, number six ranked player in the country. And when you talk about a guy that can really give you a shot in the arm from a recruiting standpoint, I mean, I don't want to put it in these terms, but you know, you look at kind of what TJ Ford did for Rick Barnes back in the day in terms of making Texas kind of the cool place to go. That's the kind of recruiting impact Keontae George can have and be kind of the first guy to kind of cross the line and step forward and say he's going to go to Texas and try to do something special under Chris Beard. So getting him on campus was really, really big this weekend in addition to building this roster. So it's funny, you know, we're sitting here and, you know, June of 2021 talking about basketball, not just for this coming season, but the following year. So it just shows you the atmosphere and then the attitude around hoops around this place is starting to shift a little bit.
Interesting. Great stuff as always, Jeff. We look forward to the show today at 10. I know David Pierce will be a guest with you and Craig in the 11 o'clock hour on Light the Tower, and look forward to it. Appreciate the insights this morning.
Thanks, Jeff.
Yep, see you guys in a bit.
All right, Jeff Howe on his way in here for their show at 10. But full recap, Texas baseball. He was at the dish all weekend to watch the dominant performance of David Pierce's squad. Longhorn football with the first big recruiting weekend and added a running back, which we'll talk more about coming up in basketball. Chris Beard, active. That's that player to watch is Keontae George, shooting guard, number one player in the state. He was in town this weekend and impressed, apparently. You like this guy, Zay? You're nodding. Keontae George can go?
Love him. If you like Donovan Mitchell, Devin Booker, Keandre George could be that in the future.
Interesting. All right, we'll be back when we do more of the top stories of the day, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Craig Way has his Craig Way report. And before the end of the hour, it is Salacious Gossip and your Blitz, all part of a Monday on B&E.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Thank you to Jeff Howe. Good stuff on all things Burnt Orange, including that Texas baseball team. Dominant three-game weekend, crushing the opponents 33-5. Great pitching, timely hitting when they needed it, manufactured over 10 runs a game in the three games, all three over double digits. And Now they'll wait and see what happens in Gainesville today to know their super regional opponent, which will either be South Alabama or South Florida. The homestanding Florida Gators were 2-barbecue, Buck. 2-barbecue, including got beat on Saturday 19-1.
Yeah, they got drove into the ground.
What the hell's going on? I mean, that was not a good performance. But, you know, as we said, the Longhorns, one of 8 teams that have already advanced. Texas Tech is one of those. But TCU eliminated. Arkansas playing an elimination game today with Nebraska in the college baseball tournament. So good stuff out there in college baseball. Also over the weekend and yesterday became official Julio Jones, now a Tennessee Titan. And I read this tweet. You know, Ryan Clark works for ESPN, former DB. Does a real good job, I think, on ESPN. His tweet and opinion on this trade was, "Welp," he said, "A.J. Brown was part of the swollest wide receiver duo in college." In college history, he says. You remember when he was at Ole Miss with DK Metcalf? Those two dudes, swollest, so the biggest dudes. He says, "Now with Julio joining to form Voltron in Tennessee, the beat goes on. Healthy, hungry, Hall of Famer Julio pulls up in Nashville, and defense is fixing to have a problem. Henry, Brown, and Jones, physical freakiness overload." That was my initial thought. He did it in much more colorful language. But, dude, Derrick Henry in itself is an all-day cookie. I mean, this dude is a beast. We know what type of running back he is. I mean, he's as good a power back as the game has seen, gosh, since who? I mean, who's the last great power back? The speed-power combination that dude provides, and just what he is against it, you know, he just wears down your defense. It's like a heavyweight boxer. Just,
well, you can go ahead and put Jim Brown in there because there's nobody.
Or Campbell.
Like Derek. Yeah, or, well, I mean, this guy's numbers are going to be way past Earl Campbell's numbers when it's all said
and
done.
Yeah, and so you build your offense around him. And, of course, the head coach is Mike Vrabel, who's a punchy-in-the-mouth kind of guy. That's the kind of football he wants to play. Now you've got A.J. Brown, an emerging stud receiver. Now with Julio Jones, who doesn't have to be the go-to guy, he's the second guy for Ryan Tannehill. That is, you better be ready to get physical when you're going to play the Tennessee Titans in football this fall. They're going to be a tough team.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I said, this will help this group more than it would have the New England Patriots or somebody like that, because you already have a quarterback who's a pretty well-known commodity.
Yeah.
And this goes right along. He's a tough quarterback. He's a tough runner himself. And now you've got the fullback or the halfback or the running back or whatever the hell you want to call him, the fast wide receiver. He's a little bit of everything. And you've got a big fast wide receiver and a big tight end. Now this puts a lot of pressure on you because Julio Jones still is a catch-and-run guy. He's not a catch-and-fall-down guy. He's big. He's strong. He'll push you away and continue to run.
Physical. And A.J. Brown's the same, right? He stiff-arms you.
A.J. Brown is fast, too.
And thick. I mean, you better bring your tackling. Because that's the thing. That, with Julio Jones coming, if he can stay healthy, and if Ryan Clark is indeed prophetic that, he is healthy, he is hungry, he's got something to prove, he's only 32, but, don't write off the best years of Julio Jones. He's 7 times a Pro Bowler. He's been the best receiver in the league for the last 10 years. Well, if you now have to load the box to stop Derrick Henry in that run game, right? You have to use extra people to try to corral what they do running the football. Well, now you have, you can try to roll some coverage to A.J. Brown side. Well, now you're going to have Julio Jones in one-on-one matchups. I mean, that becomes a problem. And then you have a quarterback in Ryan Tannehill who's very mobile, right? He can take off and run. That's a dynamic offense. I think that's a huge addition for them. You know that John Schneider, their general manager, wanted to make a splash and bring in a...
Well, when you have to beat Kansas City, you have to physically beat them because you can't finesse them. You're not going to outscore them. You're not going to have wide receivers that can catch a ball and do the things they can do. So physically, you have to beat them up during the course of a game to win, which means you still have to score with them a little bit. And this is a group can do that. And teams like the Colts are physical too,
Well, and you saw in their playoff loss last year, Tennessee, they were up against Baltimore, right? Lamar Jackson. And they've got a big physical defense, and they were able to stack the line and then do a nice job. They have really good corners, so they're able to slow down A.J. Brown. Well, this makes them more formidable on the outside
for sure.
With Julio Jones. So, interesting, because I really think the margin's very thin in the AFC. I mean, I think Kansas City is clearly the best team, and their rebuilt offensive line. They're the team to beat with Patrick Mahomes, but man, right behind them, Buffalo, can they make that step? Baltimore, Cleveland, and now Tennessee, and then the whole thing with Indianapolis is if Carson Wentz is good, well then there's another formidable foe because the Colts have as talented a young roster as there is in that conference. It's really going to be about their quarterback play, and can Frank Reich thinks he's got that they got to steal in Carson Wentz, and then he's going to walk in there and really, you know, get back to playing some high end football, get out of the toxic mess that was Philadelphia. We'll see. I'm really intrigued by how this AFC plays out over a now 17 game season, and I want no part of that Tennessee offense. I'll tell you that.
17 games pushing for 18.
Oh yeah, we're on our way.
Yeah,
we're on our way to 18 in the NFL. Well, we'll get there.
It's a lot of games, man.
Yeah, you know, and as we said earlier, it's just amazing when you see it in black and white that Derrick Henry in the last two seasons has 90 rushes of 15 yards or more. 90. That is stupid number.
Yeah, that's why when you get a running back that comes from Alabama and he opted out in his sophomore year, played his freshman year, they don't go to Alabama. They don't all become great running backs in the NFL. But there's been a lot of them that are pretty damn good, and most of those backs that go there, if they end up coming to your place, that's good. That's good productivity right there.
I thought Jeff Howe.
Especially
and
Sark
you,
knows him.
Yeah, well, I mean the Keelan Robinson transfer. I mean that's big. I say you just said it. I mean Alabama has produced great running backs: Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, they
Mark
don't just
Ingram.
Choose you. They don't just pick a guy.
Yeah.
Because they got two. Well, maybe this guy will be okay for us. No. They pick the best of the best in the nation.
Yeah, and if that best, you know, Keelan Robinson shows up from Washington D.C. as a 4-star running back and plays as a freshman, like sees the field,
correct?
In 8-9 games he played in 2019 as a true freshman, that tells you he's got some talent.
Absolutely.
And they just have too much good talent at Alabama, so he wants an opportunity. And to your point with Jeff Howe a minute ago, you combine Bijan Robinson with Keelan Robinson, and now you've got a 1-2 combination. Then Roschon Johnson can be kind of a specialty back.
Absolutely.
And a player in that role. So it'll be interesting how Sark uses him. But again, as you said, from Alabama, knows the system, knows how Sark operates. That's a good get for Texas, no doubt.
Yeah, I mean,
and
I
for Tennessee.
Love Roschon, the way he plays, but there's certain limitations to what he can do. And I know a lot of Horn fans are going, no, he's a solid number two, but he can't carry your team.
That if something were to happen to Bijan for a couple
of
weeks.
Oh, my God, you can't do that. No,
right.
you got to have a solid, really solid number two that can do the things that Bijan can do. And maybe this is the kid that gets close enough to it. This prevents you from going into a total panic, especially a guy who knows the offense.
Let me ask you this. Should Jack Nicklaus and the folks at the Memorial Tournament make an exception for John Rahm yesterday and say, you know what, John, you tested positive, you haven't been vaccinated yet, but we're going to set this up and you can... You know, we're going to put you in a bubble and allow you to try to finish this tournament on a Sunday.
PGA made exceptions for anybody else?
No.
Sorry, John. Go get vaccinated.
And I'll put it out there to the folks. Would it be, because look, I mean, he was clearly the best golfer for 3 days. He had a 6-6 shot lead. He's asymptomatic and you know.
And he was with somebody who had COVID. He's come in contact with someone.
Yeah.
Who's had COVID? So this wasn't one of those deals. I mean, he had an opportunity to go get vaccinated. I don't know what it shouldn't even be that hard.
Yeah,
he had an opportunity. Probably could have had that done last week, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago when he had opportunities. And people were going to go bend over backwards for a guy like John Rahm to get vaccinated.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't believe he needs to be vaccinated, this is the price that you pay. That's the rule.
Rule is the rule, and that's the thing. It wouldn't be a story if he were, you know, back in the pack and tested positive. He'd be out. The fact that he was
playing in the bubble, If they wanted to do it, they could let him play by himself. But what's that? Where's the competition? Where's that guy standing right beside you, putting pressure on you? But although there was no pressure, that dude was up by 6 strokes. He could have walked through. I mean, that guy could have walked through Disneyland and won that tournament.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because he could have shot. I mean, as it turned out, with Morikawa and Scottie Scheffler and
right.
And Patrick Cantlay yesterday, who actually Cantlay won the tournament for the second time in 3 years there in the playoff. I mean, all John Rahm had to do yesterday was shoot 76.
That's it.
And it's his tournament because he had a 6-stroke lead and no one made a big run on Sunday. But, you know, rule's the rule. And it's unfortunate for John and his wallet because he was on pace to make about $2 million that now is not coming.
Yeah, the PGA's got a bigger problem, and that's with DeChambeau and Brooksy. And they've got a figure out a way that they've got to chill that out, and that's between the two players. They just got to quit their little baby feud and their little golfers feud and get that together, or fans in golf are going to be screaming in DeChambeau swing like they did on Friday. I mean, they were yelling, Brooksy. I mean, when he's getting ready to swing.
Hey, Brooksy.
And you can't do that. You know, get in a hole and all that other crap is okay, but that's after the guy swings and makes contact. But as the guy's coming down and you're yelling, Brooksy, that's not going to work. And Koepka was firing up the crowd in some of his tweets and things that he was saying. So that's up to the PGA to kind of corral that a little
Koepka
bit.
Koepka is becoming the villain that golf maybe needs. I mean, I like Koepka, but he's becoming that guy. Every sport needs a villain, somebody to root against and gets the crowd going. But we'll see. This says, guys, there's no way they would have done that to Tiger. Oh, you know, what? Interesting. If the huge if.
Yeah, that's if.
If Tiger Woods had a six-stroke lead and tested positive, would they have sent him home?
I don't know.
Think not.
My glutes are shutting off. I tried to activate my glutes as best I could.
But I think it's a pretty...
They never stayed activated.
Never stayed activated. It's a pretty easy argument. John, if you had... Because they only test the non-vaccinated, right? So if you've been vaccinated, you don't even get tested for obvious reasons. And he didn't get that done. And, you know, it's unfortunate for the game. It's unfortunate for the tournament. I know Jack Nicklaus was bummed out about it. But at the same time, rules are rules. And that's how it played out yesterday and over the weekend in Dublin, Ohio.
Yeah, the Golden Bears already had COVID himself. So, I mean, he understands that, hey, guys, this is what the rules are right now. You have to go get vaccinated.
When we
or you can't get COVID. How's that? You don't have to get vaccinated, but you can't get COVID.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You got to stay in your own little bubble and be careful because that's the rule until it's not. We come back. We'll take your thoughts on the Blitz. Uh-oh, 447. I heard they were pretty raucous last couple days when I was out on Thursday and Friday. Actually, somebody commented, did you hear Digger on the Blitz? Does he need to be banned, Buck?
Well, we're not gonna hear from any nonsense from this point on. So
good.
You can say you can say all the crazy things you want to, but once we get to a point, we'll just stop it.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Blitz coming. Salacious gossip as well. Got to get you caught up on all the salacious news of the weekend, including a so-called boxing match last night that there was no winner. It's B&E on the Horn.
Where you get that from? Did Tawana tell you that? Did Tawana tell you that? Because I ain't for no games, okay?
Salacious gossip brought to you by Bud Light each and every morning ahead of your Blitz. Load that up, 447-3776. Only as good as you make it. Hope you had a great Bud Light weekend. Dodging some raindrops on Saturday, but yesterday, beautiful day in the ATX. Whatever you were doing, do it safe and smart, but do it with a nice cold Bud Light. The world's favorite light beer for a reason. The refreshing taste, the colder the better. Good times are great. Great times, unforgettable with a couple of ice cold Bud Lights in your buds. Also, remember this weekend, Buck, Rot Rally. Coming up Central Texas, the Republic of Texas Motorcycles.
Be careful.
They're going to be out and about this weekend in the new location, COTA. Circuit of the Americas is where the Rot Rally will be held.
Oh, perfect.
And the weather looking good for that. Also want to remind you to get your Coke Fest tickets. Our sister station down the hall, Coke FM, putting on Coke Fest. They've got a tremendous lineup, including, how about Coe Wetzel, Pat Green, Kevin Fowler, Clay Walker, Aaron Watson, all at the Hutto Park at Brushy Creek. That's August 6th and 7th. Go to CokeFest.com for all the tickets and all the information. CokeFest is brought to you by Michelob Ultra and HEB. And the gossip is brought to you by Bud Light. I did watch some of this sham of a boxing event last night, Buck. Floyd Money Mayweather dominated someone named Logan Paul, who now has an 0-1 career record in boxing. But did he lose or win? Because no one, they didn't even declare a winner.
Exhibition. Nobody win. There's no winners.
In which Floyd Mayweather said before the fight he expects to make between $50 and $100 million for a sham of a fight.
I'm going to say on the low end they're making $30 million.
No, he says $50 to $100 on the pay-per-views. And my son and his buddies contributed the $50 to watch it at my house.
I'll just say this. Money will be a lot closer to what he knows how much money he makes. So probably right. Probably $50 on the low end.
So the entrance featured two rap songs, one by a band called Migos. That used to be Tom Herman's band, Migos. You like Migos, Day?
Not really. They do a lot. Hummer.
Hey!
That's how they rap.
What? Also a performance by someone named Moneybag Yo.
I listen to Moneybag Yo. Yeah.
Okay, there you go. And the crowd was packed with stars like Michael Irvin was there, Terrell Owens, Vander Holyfield, a bunch of other guys. So... but there's no winner like this, and there's no finish. What are we doing here? The heck?
So the guy who was getting his ass kicked all night can raise his hands up and say,
"Yeah,
winner, chicken dinner."
Yeah, and he took a lot of punches, and Floyd's a really precise boxer, and got him with some shots and the body shots. I mean, gosh, he was crushing him, but it didn't end. But so you know, or you could be watching the U.S. soccer match last night.
That was like a brawl.
That was a wild scene. The U.S. men's national team against Mexico turned really ugly. It started, fans were chanting, apparently in Spanish, anti-gay slur, and it got really loud. and then throwing bottle. I mean, a member of the Team USA got hit in the face.
Yeah, I saw that one.
With a water bottle. Gio Reyna hit right in the face. He went to the ground, so they had to pause the game. USA went on to win that match 3-2, but not a good scene. Mm-mm. It was Alexi Lalas who had a comment. Says, the crowd behavior in Denver was a disgrace to our sport and our country. So there you go. Not good. No bueno. And did you see that Julio Jones, when he showed, when he got traded, showed up in Tennessee yesterday in Nashville in a nice private jet? Gets off looking smooth. He's ready to go. He's ready to join them for their summer activity.
He's a big dude.
He is a big dude.
He's a big dude, man.
He's a big dude.
He looks in great shape, too.
I know. All right, so a little gossip. And so, Zay, did you watch the boxing match or not? I can't remember what you told me.
No, I never watched it. Couldn't get it on bootleg.
You were trying to bootleg it, but you didn't want to pay the 50. You should have come over. I should have invited you over.
$50 for that thing?
Yeah.
You see Ocho Cinco, though?
Nuh-uh.
Ocho Cinco was in the match before.
Right, and he went down, didn't he?
Oh, he got beat.
Yeah, he got beat. But he lasted 4 rounds, though, and you could tell Ocho Cinco definitely did some sparring during his, you know, NFL days to train. So he wasn't like, you know, Nate Robinson or Logan Paul or any of those other jokes.
Yeah, well, I'll just say, that little square that they're in, that's a different world inside of that thing with boxers.
Well, I will give the Logan Paul character... Oh, by the way, Floyd Mayweather afterward already started talking about a Logan Paul Floyd Mayweather rematch.
I knew it's coming.
Come on, man. And then they asked Floyd what you're going to do next.
Just fight Conor McGregor one more time.
No, he said maybe I'll fight Jake Paul. Now, who is that? His brother?
That's his brother. And then he'll fight Rand Paul.
And
Ron Paul.
Rand and Ron.
Yes.
And then they'll eat some Mrs. Paul's fish sticks
Good
or something.
Lord.
The hell's going on here? I don't get it. I don't get it. But, you know, that happened last night. So there you go. There's a little gossip. Let's go to your Blitz.
The Bucky and E Blitz.
The Morning Blitz brought to you by Apple Leasing, where you only have to pay for the new half of the car or truck, the half under factory warranty, in any make, any model. Click appleleasing.com and see how easy it is.
Can he fight Canelo?
Canelo Alvarez?
Yeah. Canelo's too big.
He already
big,
fought him.
Yeah, that was way back when Canelo was very young, correct?
Yes.
And Canelo got beat, by Floyd.
Yeah, Canelo got beat.
Yeah. It's time to fight Canelo again now. No, he won't go that direction, will he?
He won't do it, not now.
All right, first Blitzer, you're up.
Yeah, I'll never get rid of the Blitz. This is Tim Duncan.
Oh
yeah. Thank you, Tim.
Timmy D.
Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, the manufacturers, they won't. 50%. The suppliers, they want their 30%. The subs, they get 40-50%. The contractors, they get 20%. But don't worry, you get 30 years to pay for that house.
Thank you, big dog. Appreciate
that.
What
the hell is he talking about? Was that like an economics lesson?
That's big dog. You know he knows this stuff. Next Blitzer, talk to us.
Good morning. I'm inquiring for a possible new agent, preferably a new African-American agent after my departing with the Atlanta Falcons. Hopefully, I can land a new job somewhere with your help, Bucky Gobble.
Right.
This is Julio Jones.
No, you can't help it. Sorry about that.
When did the Blitz become a rambling event?
Next Blitzer, you're up.
That backwards-ass, inbred bigot digger is too stupid.
Next Blitzer, talk. Next Blitzer, talk to us. You're up.
Free speech is a beautiful thing. The more one speaks, the more one shows their true colors.
Very interesting.
I'm all for pretty good there. Freedom of speech.
Next Blitzer, you're up.
Yeah, this is Joe, fan. Yeah, hey, shame on offensive digger. I mean, that is why all of my calls at their very core are based on dignity and respect and are designed to bring overall goodwill to the program.
Wow, you are so right about that. We appreciate it. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Dignity and respect.
Good morning, guys. They misheard me. I said I wanted to fight RuPaul because I like to beat up women. This is Floyd Mayweather.
RuPaul, that's who it
Somebody
was.
Said Jake Paul. Chris Paul could fight. Ron and Paul Wall. Paul Wall.
Somebody said Chris Paul. I love that one. Next Blitzer, you're
CP3.
Up.
CP3.
In the first game of their meeting, the Tennessee Titans, 145. The Houston Texans, 3.
You don't want it. It can't be that bad.
Well, Houston did have the worst defense in pro football a year ago, and Derrick Henry had a couple 200-yard games against Houston. So,
next Blitzer, you're up.
All you chicken littles, stop sowing the seeds of mediocrity.
We did not fire a third-place coach to hire a coach to finish in third place.
Ooh, still after me on that.
Shut it down! Oh, no! Let's go home!
Yeah.
Still after me on that third place, I said. We'll see. I love the pickup. Love another running back.
You know, boxing seems like a joke, but people still buy it. People still watch it. It's on to my house. Well, how they're winning with the exhibition bouts.
Why can't Mayweather fight Canelo now?
Because it would be a real fight then.
It would be a real fight for sure.
Fighting some YouTube star who's never boxed before.
That can happen. That's a big money fight. He likes big money. No, he could lose that. He's not going to fight somebody he could lose to.
Would you pay to watch Bryson DeChambeau box Brooks Koepka? I would.
Am I going to pay that much? But I would pay something.
I wouldn't pay to watch him play golf. I would pay to watch them brawl. That'd be great.
Look out for DeChambeau.
He's bulked up. He's beefy.
Mm-hmm.
We're back. Our show is beefy this morning. There's a lot to talk about. Texas baseball. Two wins from Omaha. We'll get you and let you know who they're going to likely face or potentially face in a super regional. Also, more on the big weekend. Good, bad, and ugly. B&E with you, live, local, and digital. Check out our Twitch channel at hornfm.com.